First of all, tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Our Father, we open this precious book again, and we thank you, Lord, that we have an answer. We may not know the answer, but we have it in this book, anything we face. You left us with what we need to know, and you give us the information that's needed for the hour if we'll study it. And Lord, we want to do that because we want to know what you are doing as we see your priorities in life and realize how great you are. And we've done our best to try to show that as we looked at, again, God's image, the Spirit of God dealing with us to understand the image, study the image of God, which is man. And I pray now as we move another step tonight into a deeper era to really grasp what you're doing, the Holy Spirit could teach us things that need to be taught. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, last week we were talking about knowledge. If you look at, again, verse 11, it says in chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, "For what knoweth the man things of man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." We said that man learns really spirit to spirit. We have the intellect ability to learn, but there is a horizontal position in growth as we correspond to each other. And he puts on the level for man, which is a lower level than God, because without the spiritual awakening, we have no communication with God. So there is a spiritual alignment horizontally that we learn from each other. And there has to be a vertical alignment with God for we really learn anything about him. And we was talking about, in this life, we learn by what we think of. I guess IQ could be one of the best ways to describe it. Even with if each one of us have a different IQ, though, it takes a lot of study and hard work for us to learn, even though our IQ may be, lower or better than someone else's. We still have to spend a lot of time studying, and hard work, studying is wearisome and hard work. So in glory, though, we're looking at the difference in this body we're in now and the body that God's going to give us with a new creation when we leave this life and go into where God himself is at. And we said the glorified body is much more advanced than the physical body. And I believe it all my heart that the last few weeks are showing the moving up from the mother's womb to this life to where God's going to take us to live forever. And all of this will be made over again. I believe that we're going to, we can see as God reveals himself to us even now in this life, through faith, what's going to happen beyond this life. It becomes a reality to us. Faith is such things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So here, we have to be taught. Here, we study and we work hard to understand. But in glory, we were talking about that there's something happening here, and I can't explain it. But God teaches us to grow in grace and knowledge. And he's teaching us there's a reward for that if we obey him in what he tells us to do. We know there's crowns in heaven. We know there's shining of light in heaven somehow or another. There's going to be a Shekinah-type light of bodies when we get there. We know Jesus Christ himself is the light of the universe in that day, because you won't need the S-U-N. The S-O-N, according to Revelation, is the light thereof. And the Shekinah glory of God shining in that city of the New Jerusalem as it hovers over this earth, which the earth will be made new at that particular time. You're going to be able to see that probably about anywhere you go in the universe. Certainly within many, many, many light years, you're going to see it, and maybe it'll see it right on. It's just hard to tell what we'll be able to pick up with our eyes when we get the glorified body. So there's going to be instant knowledge. It's going to be more. Our knowledge now is much more be able to accumulate than what we were in the mother's womb. Now, there's a lot of things happened in this life that went along with that knowledge. And that shows that we're the image of God. We're able to learn. We're able to communicate. We're able to advance. And that's the image of God. And then when we leave this life and then go into that eternal bliss with a glorified body, it blow your mind. And reason for that was looking in chapter 2, verse, again, if you look in verse 9. I don't know what that new body will run on, but I know this. I know it's a heavenly fuel of some kind. It will not be blood. The new body will not have blood. It'll have flesh and bones. I can prove that scripturally. If you look with me over in Luke chapter 24, just hold your finger there. Look with me in 24 and see what Jesus said in verse 39 as he's speaking to the disciples on a resurrected side. He said, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me. See, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." So here he has flesh and bones. Now, watch this, ladies and gentlemen, because he says, a spirit has not flesh and bone as you see me have. Watch some things here. As ye see me. They could not see him in the spirit before. They could not see spiritual beings before. Christ had to be incarnated in the flesh in a physical body. But this resurrected body that Christ came forth from the dead, they could see him with their physical eyes. And yet it's not made out of matter like we are made out of. It's made out of material that will live forever. And so here, to think that that body in that day, what fuel it runs on, we know the blood circulation here is the life of the flesh. But there's no blood there. And if you look another place with me in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 4, it gives us a little bit of insight to add to this. And this is how we learn as we study Scripture, collect the Scripture together, and God helps us to put it together systematically. And it fits into the program he's showing us. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, the Bible says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, we are partakers of flesh and blood." He says, "He also himself likewise took part of the same." It's interesting. Partakers of flesh and blood is one word. To take part of is another word used. And when it used about Jesus Christ, He was not a partaker of flesh and blood. He took part of, notice he said, he took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Now this verse and what Jesus said in Luke tells me that blood is not involved. But he did have part of the same. He's got flesh, he's got body, but this flesh that he's in now is a different type of flesh. It's never going to die. It's not corrupt. It's going to live forever when we get into that new creation gets into that glorified body that Paul tells us another place is fashioned like unto the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So go back with me now to Hebrews, if you will, and let's look at what he says. And this helps me understand. Now, I say to you again that that life's going to be much greater than this life, and these are a few verses that help me understand that because what Paul says. He says in chapter 2, and we read that a little bit last week, and pick it up again in verse 9, "As it is written, I have not seen, nor ear have heard, neither entered in the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him." Now, it's interesting. Many years ago when I studied that verse and began to see that beyond this life, nothing I've seen here in my eye or heard in my with my ear or any fashion as far as this life is concerned can be compared to what God has prepared for us. That means anything in this world that I could think of, it's much better there. And I wrote out beside of that, and say, also is it so for those who reject God. They can't even begin to think of what it's going to be like in hell in the lake of fire. Yeah. They can joke about it, boy, I'll be there all my friends. You won't know to have no friends when you get there, I tell you that. You're going to be busy taking care of yourself and thinking of yourself. So it's what God says about what's going to happen to those who are in him. He also sets forth, if he's going to do that for us who trust his son, who believe in him, then think what it's going to be for those. They can't imagine what hell in the lake of fire is going to be like on the other side of this thing. And then so he goes on. He said, "And God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." So we understand in Hebrews 11, we talk about what faith is, that through faith God is building our understanding about not only how we should serve him here, but what is to be done there to some degree. We can't get a clear picture completely, but we can know this. As we serve him here, it's going to mean things there. God doesn't put us here to serve him and then say when we get, some people say, well, we get to heaven, won't matter in here. What'd I do? Oh, yes, it will matter. It will matter, ladies and gentlemen, because in that day, in that environment, the entirely things, everything will be different, and God's going to let, there's something going on here in this life. He didn't explain it all except serve him. He says, I'm going to reward you. I'll give reward, 5 crowns and whatever he's going to give. There'll be those who have those crowns and put back at the feet of Jesus Christ, no doubt, in heaven one day. But it's not just coming to church that you get crowns. It's faithfulness to the cause of Christ. It's finding God's will for one's life and serving God capacity on a level where God can be honored in this life no matter where we're at. And the church is a place. By the way, those who really are serving God want to come to church because that's where you get refuel if the Word of God's been taught. We learn how to study it and we learn some things about our God. Just even now, I'll tell you this motivates me even more so as God's Spirit speaks to my heart about the life beyond as I look into that era of faith by faith through the channel and realize that those things, he said, well, faith is evidence of substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. In other words, the world looks at it and says, nothing there. We say, oh, there's substance there. And then we have the evidence of it. How do you have that? By faith. Well, see, there you go. Faith is fantasy. No, it's not. When God tells us to use it, you and I might say use faith and do this and that and the other, and it could be fantasy because we don't have everything put together. But God has everything put together. So it's flesh and bone. And of course, one thing about the glorified body, it can eat, but you won't have to have food. You'll enjoy food. We don't know just how, but somehow or another, as we grow in the Christian maturity in this life, it will benefit us when we get there. Notice he says again in verse 2, what knoweth the things of man in verse 11, or chapter 2, verse 11? He says, say the spirit of man which is in him, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. You know what it tells me? You have to have the Spirit of God to understand what God's doing. Right. Hey, you have to have the Spirit of God to even begin to see who God himself is. So everybody comes around telling me, well, you know, I just don't believe in God no more. Tell me, you never had the Spirit of God. Right. There's something in my heart. I know I have a lot of faith, and I don't know a whole lot. There's something in my heart, though, after 51 years, he still wants me to serve him because I believe he's real. He manifested himself, you see. Watch in verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might, I like this, know these things. We ain't hope so, maybe so. That motivates us to do what, as near as we know what God calls us to do, that we may know the things which are freely given to us. And he said, which things also we speak, not in the world's words which man's wisdom teaches, that's spirit to spirit, man's spirit, horizontal to man's spirit, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, that's vertical, but from God to us, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Our commentary in life is to compare spiritual things with spiritual. We hear things, we don't make them up, we're not trying to show how holy we are, we're trying our best just walk with God and let him do what he needs to do. And when he does it, we acknowledge it. And if he doesn't do it, then we don't say he's not going to do it because we believe that God keeps his word. And that's the relationship we have with him. Then he said in verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? For they are foolishness unto him. I just read you a while ago. If they are foolishness unto him, ladies and gentlemen, evidently that's the reason this guy is saying, I don't believe in God no more. He said, the natural man receiving not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolish unto him. Neither can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. Now, as I have looked at this image of God and doing my best to ask the Lord to help me understand this thing about study of man, his image. And I think I maybe not gone in depth as I should. I think that the last few weeks we've gone in depth to see where we came from. Where God brought us into existence through Adam. We've been through, you who've been faithful every night. We've been through what exactly God had done to get us to where we are now through procreation. But you know, that still don't let me see really all about I need to see who God is. I mean, I'm fearfully wonderful made, so are you. But being where I am now, because the rest of the ungodly world is where we are now in the flesh, they deny God. We say that he exists. What makes the difference? Because it's not just being born physically with the nature of Adam that causes one to believe in God. It takes a spiritual birth. Now, we say we're born again. Ladies and gentlemen, having just a spiritual birth is not enough to make us be able to take a stand in the face of this opposition. We got to know more about him now since we know about ourselves. And God has helped us look at ourselves to see him. Why? Because we're in his image. And therefore, everything that we have about us should point back to God somehow or another, more so than anything else he ever created, unless it be an angelic being. He says, I've never seen one knowingly. I don't really know what they look like, but I know what humanity looks like. And now I want to look some more. So now I've got to move a step further. I got to move a step further. I'm from the womb. I'm here in this life now. And I've grown. I'll be 71 years old in just another few weeks. And I've grown 51 years in the Lord. There's a great responsibility I have as far as this life is concerned. It's soon going to be over with. But the thing about that, I must understand now that where I'm at, that I don't get to the point that I think that I'm so smart to rule God out. And by the way, that's happened in our intellectual age. So what's happened is we're losing something. What are we losing? I'll tell you what we're losing, because we're so superior in our knowledge today compared to the history in the past. I'm talking about as an average of human beings, the supremacy of God has been belittled. And we've got to understand the supremacy of God. And that's the next step I've got to go to. The supremacy of God must be manifest in my mind. If not, I can be just like that fellow was in here at the Bible Belt. By the way, he said, can you? And there's been many Christians who in their younger life served God, and then for some reason, they didn't serve God no more. If you be honest, some of you have been saved a number of years. You were a lot hotter for the Lord working years ago than you are now. There's something about time that we move back and we think it's not as important now as it was when God saved us, or in the early years of our young adult life, or when our children are growing up. It seems like there's a cutoff time when children get grown and leave the nest that they have. A lot of folks move back and say, well, I've read and I've done my job now. Folks, you don't never get through doing your job with God in this life. He wants to serve him. So I've got to learn in my mind the supremacy of God. And that's the next step. Now, Lord, I see the image. I see what you've done. I understand, maybe not as I should, but at least enough to help me as a little poor human Johnson County farm boy learn about you and who I am, where I came from, where you brought me to, and praise your holy name along the way. But all the gadgets and things that Satan did, he hasn't as of yet tricked me up and tripped me up. Not that he can. I hadn't arrived yet with Paul. But I'll tell you this. There's a whole lot more I know now. I'd be a whole lot more responsible now if I followed than I would I had 30 or 40 years ago. Because God has shown me a whole lot more. I know you may not think so, but you got to see where I'm looking at. And for me to understand God's supremacy, I can't understand it from my angle. Because when I look from my angle, the flesh, I run against the wall when I come to that veil between the flesh and the spiritual world. Am I making sense to you? Thank you, brother. I'm trying to. Have I lost you where I'm talking about? See, we've got to the place we think God's here, and he's like a little grandfather in heaven, and I call on boy, and he just comes to running because he's so glad to have him as a child, and we live our own life. That's not the way God works. I don't care who tells us that in this world. That's not the way God works. So I got to learn about him. But I found out I can't learn just from my angle. If I learn from my angle, I'm bringing God down. I'm making more than just God. I'm making more like man. I got to find the supremacy of God from his viewpoint. If I don't have a Bible that tells me that, I'm lost. And if I don't have a Bible that you don't have to change every 2 years, I'm lost. I got to have a record that's absolute. Well, Lee, I've got to have a record that's absolute, my brother. If I don't have it, I might as well quit. Because I'm not trying to find God from my angle now. Thank God he's already found me. I'm trying my best to look from his angle, from heaven through his eyes. The only eyes I have now is the spiritual awakening that comes through this book. Therefore, I have to really get into it. Now, let me show you some things. First of all, look in 1 Peter with me. I'm going to just about get the crust. Listen. Folks, I don't want you to get anything off. I thank God he's led me back to study this in depth, because I'm learning something. Maybe God's fixing so I have to have it later to strengthen me, because he knows where I'm headed and I don't know where I'm headed. But in 1 Peter, if you will, look with me, in chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look down about verse 13 and 14. Now, I'm talking about the supremacy of God to our mind. God's got to be supreme. You see, if God is not supreme to my mind, then everything He says, I don't take it seriously. Or I'll try to revise it. Or I'll try, God understands this. Why don't do this? He says that. And why, I've looked at that a little more, and the word can mean this rather than that. Went down through the centuries, always meant that rather than this. And so you come to that point that everything begins to be looked at from where you're at rather than where God wants you to be. You understand what I'm saying? Preacher, I sure do. Thank you. Thank you. Look what he says in verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Peter said, gird up the loins of your mind. Now, it's very important because we're going to get into something. This is fascinating. This is not talking about your brain. That blows a bubble because it's hard for man to separate the mind and the brain. And I don't know as I can, but I know this. In God's word, it's different. Hey, your brain's going to go back to dust when you die. So I've got to understand what my brain's doing, and I got to understand from a biblical standpoint what my mind is. Because my mind is not going to be in that grave where the brain's at when I die. It's going to be the new creation in Christ Jesus. It's going to inherit the new body. I don't know what's going to be the motor vehicle that makes that work. So we're going to get in some things about the physical makeup and ask God to help us understand about what's more than just the physical makeup. And so he said, gird up the loins of our mind. Now the word girt here means to surround, to encircle, to enclose, to prepare for action. Lord, prepare my mind for action. My brain can be the motorizer of this body. My brain, when I say move up, think, I don't even have to tell it to, it just does automatically. Amen. I mean, it'll slap me if it want to. I mean, my brain just do anything I tell it to do, and sometimes what I don't tell it to do. That works. Do this with me. Your brain calls you to do that. But your mind is beyond your brain. It's just a kind of a housing. I don't know how it houses it, to tell you the truth, but what? You know, it to gird up the loins of your mind, surround and circle and close to prepare yourself for action. Watch, he said. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end. Don't give up. Gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end. Don't you give up. You get in the Word and stay there and try your best to trust God. Just trust Him. Don't give up. I'll tell you one thing, it's so easy to give up sometimes. And he said, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's that revelation of Christ that keeps coming. Keeps coming. I know, it used to bother me for folks to make fun at me, criticize me, tell me I had no backbone, and a lot of things they've said through the years about me. But you know now, it's just a fact, when I look back and see where God has brought me from, I'd rather be where I'm at and doing what I'm doing right now and through the years because it has not caused me to be like them. You understand what I'm talking about? Notice what he said. And as obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance. There's a lot of ignorance on my part now when I look at it from the eyes of the flesh. But if God will let me, in that spiritual world, reach beyond the veil by the Holy, and I can by the Spirit of God, and realize this book is given to me, and God is reaching beyond the veil to where I'm at, and His delight is to show me His will. So my will and His will being synchronized together for my life. His will for your life can't be His will for my life. But we collected together could serve God and be in the center of God's will. Now watch. Look with me, if you will, in 2 Timothy. Turn to 2 Timothy just a moment and see what Paul told Timothy in chapter 2 and verse 7. Paul said this, consider what I say. Now the Apostle Paul was called of God, and he didn't mind saying that. He said one time to Corinth, be followers of me, even as I was also of Christ. Paul said, consider what I say. And watch this. if you consider what I say, he wrote a lot of books in the New Testament, didn't he? He was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. And Paul said, if you consider what I say, what's this? The Lord giveth thee understanding in a few things. He said, all things. Well, that puts a value on this book, doesn't it? You know the only place I'll find out what Paul said? Puts a value on this book. And Paul said, you consider what I say. And when you consider what I say, and you try to put it in systematic order, you ask the Holy Spirit to help you get it in the phase it needs to be in, where it be the dispositions, or where it be the different phases as far as it comes in those dispositions, whatever. God helps us put that together, which is not because we're any better than the unsaved, just the fact we're saved and we desire to know His will. Then, if you will, look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 20. Now, he said, gird up the loins of your mind in 1 Peter 1:13. He says, consider what I say, Paul says, and the Lord will give thee understanding in all things. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20, watch this. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Now, this is an amazing verse. Be not children in understanding. Do you find many children really understanding anything? I don't. I say up till they get 10 years old, they don't really understand. Then after that, I don't understand a lot. They think they do, but they are growing. They can add 2 plus 2. But when you're talking about serious things about life, they don't understand that. They want to think, why can't I? And a lot of times, parents, they'll say to you, hey, so-and-so does it. Must be all right if they do it. Sometimes that's just a saying anyhow. They just sit because they want to do something. If you get looking, so-and-so may not do it like they said so-and-so did it, you know. What he said, I'm saying, he said, he said, brethren, be not children in understanding. Why? They don't understand. Then watch, he said, how be it in malice be ye children, but understanding be men. You think men of maturity can understand better than a child. He said, be not children in understanding, but he said, how be it, be in malice be ye children. What does it mean? It simply means malice is, you know, you can't get along too good. Have you ever seen two children fighting like a dog and 2 minutes later loving each other like they never fought a time? They can get over it in a flash. As a matter of fact, they'd be mad as a set hen over here 2 minutes later, forget it. Be the best of friends. Adults can't do that. Use your brain. Adults can't do that. We have things that happens to us in turn. We're not like children when it comes to malice. We'll hold a grudge. But a little child will forget it. They won't remember it no more. And God said, when it comes to understand, don't be like a child, but in malice be like a child, but in understanding be like men. Be mature. Grasp it. So you know what's going on. Now, I'm talking about the supremacy of God. If you go to Isaiah 45, verse 5 and 6, God said this, I am the Lord, there is none else. If you look at Isaiah 46, verse 9 and 10, he says, I am God, and there is none else. Talking about the supremacy of God. If there is just one God, and there is none else, I better be sure I'm worshiping the one God. Because if not, I missed it. And God has said too much for us to miss it. The only problem is when you get out of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Israel represented God in the Old Testament, church in the New Testament, and Christianity in the New Testament represent God. And because you have so many religious groups like you did in the Old Testament, wouldn't listen to what God was doing through Israel, there's many more today who won't listen to what God's doing through the church in Christianity. And in that situation, they end up not believing in the same God. And the reason for that is because they say they believe in God, and most people, hear me, most people who say they believe in God, I don't care what religion, they think it's all the same God. It's the same God, we just approach Him different ways. No, it's not the same God. Because there's only one way you approach the true and living God, and that's through Jesus Christ. And so when you approach Him through Him, you've got the right God. I've got the right God. Well, you're boasting. No, we're not. We're just stating a fact.
That's right.
Well, we're stating a fact too, okay? I grieve. When I say you know what I'm talking about, a person says, well, I'm stating the fact. Okay, you're stating the fact, I'm stating the fact. We both have our facts. There's no further we can go. If what you believe is your fact and what I believe is my fact, we both have the facts. There's got to be somewhere down the road. We can't settle it. Amen? There's no way we can settle it. If you've got your facts and I got my facts and my facts don't line up with yours and your facts don't line up with mine, we can't settle it. I tell you what I do. I'll wait and let God settle it.
Amen.
I feel comfortable with that. I feel so comfortable. I wouldn't even think about going your way because I know what the Bible says and I believe in the Bible. And there God gives confidence in the fact of the facts. And here we see he sets forth that I am the God and there is none else. Now this God says, I'm talking about the spiritual, the supremacy of God in my mind. This God says, gird up your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Surround it, encircle it, enclose it, so you'll be prepared to act so others can see it. And he says, Paul said, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. And when you're working this out, brethren, be not children understanding. Howbeit be children in malice, but be men in understanding. Be mature. Be sure of what you studied, that you are mature enough to know, I believe this is of God, because he's convicted my heart. Now, when I do that, back in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, gird up the loins of your mind. Here's where we stop tonight. My question is, Lord, God said, gird up the loins of your mind. I see in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 where we're at, if you turn back there just a minute, and you turn over one page, if you've got a Schofield Bible, you turn over one page and look in verse 16. He says, but who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind, we, Christian, born again, child of God, we have the mind, or at least the potential to have the mind of Christ. So the fact is there. We have the mind of Christ. The potential is there. Now, it don't mean that everything in this book is going to just come to you if you don't study it. The potential is in this book. So if I gird up my mind, the loins of my mind, which I have the possibility to know the will of God and what God is saying for me as I look at his supremacy, then I've got to study first and foremost to get the supremacy of God in my thinking. What is the mind? What is the mind? Well, it's the brain. Oh, wait a minute. I can study the brain. I love to. I like to look at the parts of the brain. I don't have a good memory, so I can't remember a whole lot, but I studied the brain. I didn't operate on it. I can't put it back together, but I opened it up. Amen. What I'm saying, the brain can be studied. But you won't use science to study the mind. You won't need technology to study the mind. So that's an image of God he talks about, and this secular world can't separate it. It can't separate it. It puts it all together. And since they can't separate, put it together. It's an amazing thing to me is this. And I'm closing. Amazing thing to me is about this. If my brain is my mind, what am I doing in heaven? Because my brain's going to be in this body. If you come back about a year later, you're going to find my brain will disintegrate in this body just like this body does. Every groove in there, you won't find it. It'll be gone. What they say, every thing you learn puts a groove there. That shows how much I know about the brain. Doesn't it? I don't know if it does or not. I've heard that before, though it puts some kind of a, whatever that is, it puts it there. And I'm saying to you again that the mind is going to be with a glorified body. My growth now in grace and knowledge, your growth in grace and knowledge is going to be used somehow or another in eternity. I don't know how, but I know this. God is going to give rewards, and we see that, and we're looking at it a little bit later. But I've got to know what the mind is, and I've got to understand the brain, at least in relation to each other. And ladies and gentlemen, here's the thing. You're going to see. When I see that, I'm going to understand why the atheist does what he does. And then I will understand why I do what I do. My Father, I thank you again for the precious Word of God. Without it, we're nothing. Without you, we're nothing. Without the Word of God, we have no idea about who the true and living God is. But you have written it, preserved it for our day, inspired it, wrote it beyond the veil from the spiritual world into this world, that we'd have something tangible to look at and read the very words of God as he explains himself. And dear Father, a lot of things I don't understand, won't understand, I get to heaven. When I get there, all problems will be ironed out. All little bitty things that people call error will be worked out, so we'll see them as they really are. Dear Lord, let this be a place where we learn. I pray on Wednesday night not be just another boring subject. I've got to go to church tonight because I'm a Christian. I pray, Lord, there'd be something that would draw us there because, you know, I'm just not going to sit there and waste my time. If I do, it's my own fault because I'm hearing things that God helps me see myself and see him, that our relationship would be much better in this life till I get home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.